Welcome to the show.
Hey folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio, Primetime, and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Folks, welcome to the show. It's Monday, Long Shots Radio, Major League Baseball edition at noon on Mondays with your host, Donnie Wrightside. What a lot of fun this last weekend was and this last week was. As we told you before, we wanted to get back on the right side, and we absolutely did that for our friends and our clients. A sensational week of bouncing back. Like I say all the time, it's not about when you win. It's doing it with integrity and also bouncing back, showing the signs of a winner off a losing week. You heard me on the radio even last Monday and also last Thursday. We went over it time and time again. I had a 1-0 lead on Thursday while I was on the show. And by the time I got off the show, I had lost the game. I had the Atlanta Braves with Shelby Miller on the mound versus my beloved Philadelphia Phillies. And didn't pitch that well. I think he had 4 or 5 walks over the first 5 innings and ended up being a 3-1 loss, but it was a 2-1 loss once the fifth inning had ended. Excuse me, the top of the fifth had ended last week. We were 4-8 overall the previous week before. Started out strong last week at 4-1, dropped 2 straight games. And it was up to the weekend for us to decide if this was going to be a winning week or if it was going to be a failure and we would have taken a step back. Nailed it on Saturday. Now, we went 2-0 on Saturday with 2 very nice plays. Went with a very, very rare Dallas Keuchel run line play of -0.5. You know me, I usually only take the half run. I don't usually bet it because, you know, if you just tie the game, you stay there and you move on and it's not a big deal. Now, if you take the other way around, you get the +0.5 line at the end of 5 innings. You obviously take the win there, so there's no question about it. It's usually a better way to do it. You pay a little bit more of a price, but Keuchel worked out. I believe we had a grand slam in the bottom of the fourth or the bottom of the third. Keuchel won that easily 7-2, despite falling behind, walking a couple batters early. Very un-Keuchel-like, but he did pull that one out. Also won another game on Saturday night as well to make it go 2-0. It was actually the Baltimore Orioles with Gausman on the mound. Sensational play by me. Hey, got to give it up because the night before we got rocked with Baltimore. Gausman was fantastic. Anibal Sanchez got destroyed in the first 5 innings, just like we thought, so it was an easy winner. The one at night was a little bit tougher. We had the San Francisco Giants at the Texas Rangers. We went with Cole Hamels there, paid a little bit of a price. I believe it was -145 in the first 5 innings for Cole Hamels, and it was quite worth it on that one because I figured he would get the bump. I know he did throw a no-hitter. A lot of people like to fade a pitcher after no-hitter, but it was some line difference of circumstances there, which you wanted to take a look at. It wasn't a normal 5-day rest. He got 2 days bumped back, one with the Phillies, so they wanted to extend him past the deadline just in case they didn't have to put him on the mound on that Thursday or Friday night. He got an additional day off with the trade because he did end up going to Texas. So he got a full 7 days rest, and he was strong. He went seven and I believe two-thirds innings, gave up five earned runs overall. Actually didn't even factor into the decision there, but it did come back. The had a 2-0 lead the Rangers early on, I believe, in the bottom of the first. The Giants did take a 3-2 lead there. Texas fired back, made it 3-3. Even in the bottom of the fifth, we had a one-out double. Just couldn't push the final guy home. We ended up with a push there, going 2-0-1 on Saturday to set up a 6-3 week. On Sunday, we only had one game that we liked. And here's the crux of it on Sunday. There was a couple games that were in play. But day games, Saturday and Sunday, and even during the week, you know I'm a little bit leery of. If you know my style, you know the way I like to bet games. When teams usually are pitchers, I mean, creatures of habit. You hear me talk about it on the radio show all the time. They have to be in a certain element when they get their workout in, when they drink their coffee, when they head to the ballpark, which way they head to the ballpark. Is there traffic at that time heading to the ballpark? Everything is usually factored in because baseball players, a lot of hockey players, a lot of them have superstitions. Got to get a certain amount of cuts in, you know, got to hit at the cage at this time, got to watch a certain amount of video. All that is going to play into that equation each and every time when these ball players get to the ballpark. Now, on Sunday, we looked at the one game. Now, one of these games we really liked. It was the Chicago White Sox yesterday. Samardzija was on the mound, pitching sensational at home all year long. Over the past five or six games, complete shutdown pitcher going against the New York Yankees. Now, you know me. I don't fire until I see lineups. So I'm saying to myself, you know, it's a Sunday. I know the Yankees have to win. Putting Ivan Nova on the mound. I'm not a big fan of Ivan Nova, especially being on the road, Sharks at home. During the day, the pitchers usually tend to get a little bit of a bump in the daylight as opposed to at nighttime. Maybe some shadows creep up. The sun gets in the way. Players a little bit out of it there at the plate. Now, we held off until we saw the lineups there. I like the Chicago lineup they put out there, and I figured they would be able to hit Ivan Nova around pretty good over the first five innings, maybe three, four, five runs, something like that, because the bats had been hot. Now, also, the Yankee bats have been extremely hot as well. So we hold off for some reason. Girardi, I believe, was waiting on Beltran. Didn't put out the lineup for about an hour and 45 minutes before game time. I'm really happy that we stayed off it because when I saw the Yankees lineup, you know, I'm looking at it and saying, you know, that's a full-go lineup. That's nine batters there. There's no easy outs. I know Samardzija's good pitchers pitching really well, but all of a sudden to myself, that value really, really diminished, and we decided to hold off on that play. A secondary play, we haven't lost a single over-under wager this entire Major League Baseball season. Now, we've only had five of them, and we're 5-0. But we do pick and choose those games quite carefully because, you know me, I'm not really a totals player. I don't like to put it in the hand of maybe, you know, if this guy does really well, if these guys hit really well. Same thing in football. You never see me on a total. I just don't believe in the overall tactic or the overall capping of a total because there's too many outside variances that go into capping those and you get a little bit of luck. I like to take that out of the equation. Now, one of the games that I actually really liked is you saw Perez on the mound for Texas, an absolute gas can, ERA over 10, I believe, already on the season. Last game out, I don't even know if he made it through one inning. He gave up eight earned runs. I believe that was the Yankees game where they scored 21 runs. I believe he was the starting pitcher in that game. Matching up against San Francisco in that situation. Now, the night before, McCall Hamels, I mean, I think they put together a total of maybe 13 to 14 runs during that game as well. Now, heading into that, I said, you know what? This game looks like, you know, it might get a little bit dicey there. But looking at the game overall, it ends up, I believe it was 2-0 heading into the ninth inning. I mean, who'd have thought Perez was going to come out through an absolute gem against that hot bat lineup of the San Francisco Giants. That was a full-go lineup. I mean, there was a couple substitutions in there, but again, the American League ballpark, you got nine batters up. Buster Posey's in there. Hunter Pence is in there. Aoki's in there. I mean, they were full-go, ready to go. We backed out of that game just because we got a little bit of cold feet saying, you know what, that line is set at 5.5 in the first five innings. I usually like to play no more than five runs in an American League ballpark and certainly always like that line of 4 to 4.5 because that 3-2 game is very – you know, that can be had in that situation, whereas you're looking at 3-3, you have to have just to get the win in that situation. We backed away from it, and rightfully so, it went way under the number, which left us with our final game of the day, looking at the, I lost my train of thought, looking at the Indians game and the Oakland Athletics game. Two really good pitchers on the mound. We've backed Bauer in quite a few circumstances this year, as well as backing Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray at home has been sensational. The minute we found out that Jason Kipnis was out of that game, we decided to fire on that wager and go ahead with it. With the simple fact is we're getting Sonny Gray at less than 150. I believe he went off at minus 145 at game time. I figured the Oakland A's possibly could scratch out a run or two runs, and really the Indians would struggle even getting base runners off against Sonny Gray. And as Murphy's Law goes, so to speak, that first inning there, Sonny Gray walked two batters, gave up a single and a sac fly, and you're already down 1-0. So, hey, we can come back from that. But Trevor Bauer is really on his game. The one thing that if you've noticed over the last couple of Trevor Bauer starts is he starts really fast. You know, gets out of the first, second, third, fourth. It looks like it's going to be a real easy win, then gets into a little bit of trouble. Now, yesterday, we did catch a little bit of a break, and I'm really happy because if you saw me, I'm a big fan of what we like to say is a reverse jinx. It was the bottom of the fifth inning. It was 1-0 Indians. One out, two outs right off the board. So I'm saying to myself, you know, we lost this game, so I'll go ahead and put it on Twitter. Nice week this week, 6-4, missed out on Sonny Gray, only gave up one run, got into a little bit of trouble in the first. Oh, well, it happens. We'll start again on Monday and hopefully get that winning week. Well, Trevor Bauer throws eight straight balls to put guys on first and second. So you're saying to yourself, man, Billy Burns is up. I actually have a shot in this. But we've been in that situation so many times in the past, we just couldn't get that base hit. And, of course, what's happened, strike one, strike two, Billy Burns down 0-2. And Trevor Bauer is a strikeout pitcher, has really good stuff. So he buries a couple balls into the ground, and wouldn't you know it, Billy Burns fights it off. One of those where you're just looking, you know, place that ball, puts it right over the third baseman's head into the left field. They score that run. Now you're saying, you know, 1-1, great, we got it, 6-3 on the week. But again, if we could have got just a little bit more luck, a walk right behind, we had a 3-1 count with the bases loaded. Bauer threw the ball right down the middle of the plate. Canhot took it, and rightfully so. I didn't want him to swing at that ball anyway. And the 3-2 pitch looks like it was going to be inside for ball four. Swings at it, pops it up, and the catcher catches it. But, hey, folks, beggars can't be choosers. We should have lost that game. At least we got the push out of it. It was a nice swing. So what did that do overall? 6-3 last week plus 8.850 units of profit. Yes, that's $880 of profit on the week. It was fun. Again, we only used 9 plays in 7 days. So we like to take our shots. We like to use everything up and say, you know what, this is going to be the best play of the day. But also you'll see days like on Saturday we have 3 plays as opposed to Sunday as of 1 play. Now tonight with a short minimal card, we're going to go over that in just a few minutes here. But there are 4 games that we do have circled today with some good variance on some of those games and some pinpoints that I'm going to go over and see if we can maybe pick out a quick winner to start the week. Last week we started 0-1-2. On Monday, hopefully we can jump on the right side a lot quicker this week and certainly nail down some winners early and get that big week underway. But again, we've won 7 of 8 weeks now. We got tripped up 2 weeks ago with a losing week. What better way to do it than bounce back and pick up almost 10 units of profit last week on 9 plays. So that was a sensational week and a whole heck of a lot of fun. On the show today on Monday, I like to look at what's going to happen tonight. So we're going to cap some of those games tonight. There are some decent looks that we can take a look at and certainly maybe find a play or two in there. But again, we haven't fired in yet, and we're certainly not going to fire on this 1 o'clock game. David Price is a favorite. I believe the first 5 innings is minus 230. I mean, come on, man. There's no value in that. If you're betting minus 230, minus 240, minus 250s, it's not even worth playing baseball. You shouldn't be paying anybody for that. You shouldn't be even betting those games unless you're looking to sit back and have a little fun and, you know, throw a little bit down on the underdog, just have some action in the game, which, again, I don't do that at all. I don't just take action on games, but there's no use. There's no value at all once a game spikes over 200. If you're going to take the run line minus a half, I understand it's a little bit less juice there. David Price, a really good pitcher. Toronto's got hammers out there. I know Joe Mauer is sitting for Minnesota. Minnesota's one of those sneaky teams, man. Dozier's got, what, 23 blasts out of the leadoff position. The young kid Sano's come up. He's having a really good season. But they have some hitters in that lineup. I wouldn't recommend the play. Do I think Toronto's going to win? Yeah, and they should win. I mean, when you're favorite of close to 250, you better get those games knocked out and underway. No question about it. Folks, let's take a little bit of time here to go over why we do the radio show. You hear me on Monday. You hear me on Thursday. This is Long Shots, the brand. TrendBetting.com is the place to be. Setting that lifestyle there of gambling, wagering, the right way to wager, and also doing things the right way. Winning in this industry is very easy to do. losing in this industry is what most people have a problem with. In the sports gambling lifestyle, if you hit 60%, you might as well move to Fiji and set up your billion-dollar house right on the waterfront there, because it just doesn't happen, folks. We're not going to lie to you. We shoot to win around 55% of our games, and long-term, that is a really, really good profit. We like to say it. You hear me say it all the time. Winning is great, but losing with integrity is even better. If you can't trust your capper, why are you paying him? You never want to see, hey, man, 7-1 last night. Meanwhile, you got two plays and went 0-2. That's not what we're about at trendbetting.com. We're about building your bankroll the right way. If you haven't been to the website yet, folks, go to trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab with the little light bulb. All the pictures show up there of all the cappers. There's something for everybody on that website. If you like mixed martial arts, golf, soccer, tennis, hockey, college basketball, college football, NFL football, Major League Baseball, WNBA, whatever you want, we have there, and all cappers from different angles. If you like gamblers that take a lot of big-time underdogs, if you like gamblers that take a lot of sharp action, which means that, you know, if you're looking at one game as a public bettor, these guys are on the exact opposite side there. We have something for everybody at trendbetting.com. If you haven't been to the website yet, go to the website now, trendbetting.com, for all your sports needs. Lucky Lance Williams is the site founder and CEO. You hear me tell the story all the time. I met up with Lance about 3 years ago. His vision was impeccable on what he wanted out of this industry and how he wanted to improve this industry, which is why I joined forces directly with him. I have my own site at rightsidevalueplays.com. The only other trusted site that I am on for gambling is trendbetting.com. It's just the vision that we have. We're going to take this to the next level over the next year to year and a half. We do two radio shows right now, one today on Monday at noon and one Thursday primetime edition at 8 p.m. We're hoping to stretch that to 5 days a week and maybe even get a radio channel that will go 24/7 with nothing but capping and sports all day long for your betting and servicing needs. Once again, folks, check out trendbetting.com for all your sports gambling needs. Going to take a quick break, come back on the other side. We're going to take a look at some baseball and really get into some action here on Long Shots Radio Major League Baseball Monday edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and, of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years. And have found a great home here at TrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, TrendBetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Folks, welcome back to the show. It is Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. As you heard the recap there with trendbetting.com, heard the commercials there. Once again, folks, it's your one site in gambling needs. That's all you need. Go to trendbetting.com, log on to the experts tabs, rip and release and fire away and build that bankroll the right way. All right, folks, let's take a look now. Let's get right into some Major League Baseball action for tonight. I have four games that pique my interest out of the games of tonight. We're going to go over each and every one of those games, but looking right now, the Miami Marlins have a shot, Chicago White Sox have a shot, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have a shot, and, of course, King Felix going to Colorado have a shot as well. Taking a look at some other interesting major games on the card, the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates had in there a big, big-time matchup. Both lefties on the mound, John Lester and Francisco Liriano head into this game. Interesting. Reason being is if you've watched the Cubs and you've watched John Lester pitch, he can't hold runners on base. He's arguably facing the fastest team in Major League Baseball tonight on the base pass. Marte, McCutchen, Polanco, they are going to absolutely wreak havoc if they get on the base pass tonight. If you don't hold runners on, I don't know how you win. I mean, Lester, if he had any move to first base, and folks, he's a lefty. He looks directly at the runners. Any move, and you couldn't steal him or just take bags, he might be the best pitcher in baseball. But if McCutchen gets on, or let's just say Polanco leads off the game with a bunt, gets on first base, he walks to second. You know what else he does? He walks to third base. Nobody out main on third. That could happen tonight. I can't back John Lester in Major League Baseball until he throws the ball to first, second, or third. I can't back him. I don't care if he's going against the worst team in baseball. I don't care if the other team's out there on the mound throwing a gas can at John Lester. And I don't care if John Lester's getting plus 160 on the mound versus a gas can. Not betting him. Not betting him. You can't just let people on base and let them just walk to third base. If somebody, let's just say John Lester has a full count on a batter, ball four. It might as well be Little League Baseball. You might as well just run the first and just head the second and then just head on the third because he's not going to throw the ball. And even if you're on third base, and I know, you know, he throws the ball home, obviously, as soon as he starts, you know, gets on the rubber, puts the ball in his mitt, just run home. Just run because he doesn't hold anybody on. Sit halfway down the line at third base. He's not even going to throw the ball after you. It's just amazing. It's one of those things that catchers, when they get that, you know, tick in their head where they can't throw the ball back to the pitcher on time, or you see Giovanni Soto there with the Chicago White Sox. He can't throw the ball back to second base. He just, you know, he has this awkward catches the ball and throws with his hand hitting the ground and picking up. It's just really weird to watch, but some people have a tick in their head and John Lester has it. So that game is completely off the board. I just won't bet a John Lester game. He's a fantastic pitcher, but I just can't trust him. And it's just one of those quirks. The same way with it's going to be hard for me tonight to take the Seattle Mariners when they go to Colorado. There's no cap in Coors Field. You're up 1-0. You're up 9-0. It's, you know, next thing you know, it evaporates. Now it's 9-5. Now it's 9-8. Now you're down 11-9. It happens all the time there. So it's one of those quirks that I have, which if you can't really factor in, and you hear me say the same term over and over and over, betting in a vacuum, it's why I do the first five innings. Coors Field is the ultimate unknown. No lead is safe no matter what time of game. The field is so big, home runs, doubles into the gap, triples into the gap. There's a place for the ball to land anywhere, it seems, in that outfield. And with that thin air, it's the perfect storm. So it does make it tough for me to bet and gamble on those type of games there. Now, let's take a look here at another game, Arizona and Washington. A lot of people are just going to pile on Washington. They got the names. They got the all-star lineup. Doug Fister's on the mound. He's a name. Godley's on the mound for Arizona, who's been really, really good. But taking rookie pitchers on the road sometimes versus a veteran team is a recipe for disaster. I can see why money is coming in on Washington, but Doug Fister's not a really good pitcher. This isn't the Doug Fister that you got back in Detroit, who was hemmed in there with Verlander and also Scherzer, who's dealing. I mean, it's just not him at this point. I don't really have a clear edge on that game, and especially when you played that Sunday night game. Now, albeit it was in New York and he only has to travel down to Washington, I get that. It's not that far as opposed to going from Boston to Los Angeles, but whenever you have that night game, tough divisional series, you get swept out by the Mets and you played late on Sunday night, you know, even though you're getting back home 3-4 in the morning, I get it, you're home, it's still the East Coast, you're used to it there, you know, accommodations, even if it's the train they took or a plane from New York, they're 5-star all the way, I get all that, but still not the same. They're going to be tired heading into tonight, and especially facing an out-of-division foe. They need a big-time win tonight to step back on the Mets after getting swept out. They're basically tied for first place or within percentage points of the Mets for first place, so they need a big game, but I just don't know if it is going to happen in that circumstance there. Another look there, Matt Cain, the rehabilitated bionic Matt Cain versus Foltynewicz. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly there. He's always tough man to say there for Atlanta. Road favorite, minus 140 to minus 150. Looks like you can get Cain at. Don't really like the game at all. It's too much delay on a pitcher, especially Matt. I mean, if this was Matt Cain 3 years ago, that's pretty easy because obviously he's an ace pitcher, number one starter in this league, but he's still fighting his way back. ERA close to five. So is the young kid for Atlanta. So I don't really have too clear of a method there. New York Mets and the Miami Marlins. Kohler versus Colon. Colon has been a disaster lately, and we might be able to pick on him tonight. Again, the Mets, you know, take that NFL philosophy or football philosophy. When you play your big, big, big-time rivalry, sweep them up in a night game, you're pounding your chest, you're in first place. Now you got to get on a plane late at night, arrive at maybe 4 a.m. in the city of Miami. Miami is a decent ball club there. You might have a little bit of a letdown, and this isn't one of the young guns there. Colon has been a disaster over the past 4 to 5 starts, and it looks like it probably is going to continue tonight. As long as the Miami Marlins put a full boat lineup out there, they're going to be able to compete. Cole has been pretty good in his last couple starts, so that's one that does pique my interest. San Diego and Milwaukee tonight, Tyson Ross versus Willy Peralta. No real clear indicator there. I've always liked Ross as a pitcher. You know me, I like those power pitchers. If somehow you get, you know, second and third with one out, they have the stuff to get out of it with a strikeout, pop-up, ground ball. Not just looking to pitch to contact, but can actually make bats miss. That's one of those guys that you want to keep your eye on with Ross there. Don't really like the game too much, but then again, it could change. You see some lineups come out, and maybe, you know, Milwaukee sitting Ryan Braun or one of those guys, you know, trading away Ramos Ramirez, Parra, and Gomez really hurt that lineup. It's a shame, too, man, because Milwaukee was built. That lineup was built to win. They just didn't get any pitching there, and they just tore it down right out of the equation. Sometimes, I mean, even they were a dangerous, dangerous team, but sometimes it just does not click. Minnesota-Toronto, which is going to be ticking off here in a couple minutes there. Toronto looks like they're on the board somewhere around minus 230 to minus 250 price for Santana. There's no value, man. Come on. Why even cap the game? One of the games that does pique my interest a little bit is the Houston Astros traveling to the Texas Rangers. My boy Lance McCullers on the mound versus Lewis. Lewis is really weird. And what I mean by that is he throws the ball right down the middle. So it's either hit or miss. Like, you're not going to get too many walks off the guy. You know what you're going to get out of him. He's not going to give anything in or give in to you. But then again, when those young bats of Houston, man, I mean, they can pop off at any time. They just have home run hitter after home run hitter after home run hitter in that lineup. And when you throw a pitcher where your stuff is not great and you're basically a fastball pitcher throwing that ball right down midway, some of these kids are really going to catch up, especially in that Bambox ballpark of the Texas Rangers. I don't really have an edge on that game because Lance did struggle a little bit in his last game, and he is on the road, a young pitcher on the road, as I like to say. It's always tough to back. But it does show you something out there that Houston is opened up as that minus 125 to minus 130 favorite in that game. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on if you're looking at gambling on that game. I don't really know if we're going to be too involved in that one. Carnes versus Quintana there, Tampa Bay versus the White Sox. The hit or miss on that one, I really have that as a coin flip. That Tampa Bay lineup does tend to struggle, and that White Sox lineup is rounding about and can hit a little bit. Didn't hit too much yesterday, but Carnes is another one of those guys, not super stuffed, but does have a decent fastball and tends to put that over the middle with decent location. I do lean towards the Chicago White Sox in that one, pending those lineups. Baltimore and Oakland, Wilson versus Chavez. Chavez, really good pitcher at home. Wilson 0-1, 3.00 ERA. I believe he pitched 6 innings the last game, gave up 2 runs, so he wasn't too bad, but I don't really have too much of a backlog book on Wilson there. Oakland doesn't really hit the ball too well, and I really like that Baltimore Orioles lineup. There's no question about it. Addition of Parra into the top of that lineup, man. Whew. 1-7 or 1-8, they got some hammers in that lineup with some decent hitters at that 8 and 9 position. So hopefully if they get a little bit of pitching, which, again, I don't think they will. Ubaldo Jimenez has been a disaster. Chen has been a disaster. Gonzalez is struggling. There's really not much there. Boy, they got a really good bump there with Gausman coming up the last couple starts there. I know he didn't win, the game before with 7 innings and no runs, but the last time out, he did pick up that win. Hopefully he can pick up that staff and carry them as they go down the stretch because that team is built to win with the hitters. Just don't think they're going to be able to actually win when it all comes down to it. Kluber Richards is by far my game of the night, the game I'm going to be taking a lot of interest in. I do lean towards Richards at this point there. It looks like Kipnis might be playing. Early indications this morning had him doubtful and out, but it looks like he is now upgraded to at least questionable. We'll wait till those lineups come out. So we might not even have a play even released till about 7 o'clock this evening, but we'll check in there as well. 8:40 tonight, Eastern Standard Time, Seattle, Colorado. King Felix falling into that thin air of Colorado. I mean, whenever King Felix takes the mound, you have a good shot at winning that game. Do you want to lay 160 on the road, especially in Colorado? That's some food for thought out there for you folks. Well, I mean, it's been a fun show on Monday. Had a lot of technical difficulties we had to work around with the way of rigging our way back into the system, but it seemed to work out fine. I know a couple of people out there are emailing me back that we have everything underway and everything looks good out there as well. Folks, thanks for taking the time to listen to the show today. We'll be right back at it on Thursday, primetime, 8 p.m., for Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition, once again with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Good luck with the games tonight. Check out TrendBetting.com, and we will see you Thursday night. Take care, folks.